You're listening to RSJ Radio.
Welcome to Are You Listening? I'm Anna K. Evans.
And I'm Michael Solarchik. Here are the top stories for today. A look at the latest development following the Paris attacks. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau sends more troops to defeat ISIS. And soccer fans in Germany won't be celebrating yet. But first,
that's the sound of the crowd breaking, a moment of silence to sing the French national anthem for victims of the Paris attacks. At a vigil at Metro Station was only one of many held throughout Paris yesterday, as friends and families of the victims reflected on the tragedy. 129 people are reported dead, 352 wounded, and at least 99 are still in critical condition. Today, Are You Listening? Brings you a special report on the ongoing coverage.
There have been many developments following the attack on Paris. Police continue arresting suspects that may be involved in the plot. They made 16 arrests in the Paris region and more in Brussels and the eastern region of Germany. Police were particularly interested in Molenbeek, a district in Brussels where two of the gunmen came from. Officials in Paris said on Tuesday that they are hunting for a second fugitive involved in the deadly attacks. Authorities haven't identified the second possible fugitive in the attack that killed at least 129 people and left over 350 wounded. Many arrests were made, but two suspects remain at large. One of them, Saled Abdeslam, was a driver for the group that attacked the Bataclan Theater. His brother, Mohamed Abdeslam, spoke out yesterday and said he should turn himself in and is concerned for his parents.
We think the victims of the families of the victims, but you have to also understand that we have a mother, we have a family, and that despite everything, he remains her child.
The other suspect at large has been accused of being the mastermind behind the plot. His name is Abdelhamid Abaoud, a Belgian citizen who was last seen in Syria.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced that he would be sending more Canadians to train fighters against ISIS. 69 soldiers are there already, training Kurdish and Iraqi soldiers to fight the Islamic State. Now, he hopes to bring in more. He made the announcement after landing in Manila in time for the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum.
The bottom line is, how can Canada best be a strong and positive contributor to the continued and continuing mission against ISIL?
More Canadian boots will be on the ground, but Canada will still have a smaller military presence in Iraq and Syria. Trudeau reassured the press that he will not break his earlier promise about removing Canadian CF-18 fighter jets from the war.
A bomb scare has shut down a soccer match in Hanover, Germany. The friendly between Germany and the Netherlands was pulled after a suspicious suitcase was found in the stadium. Police ordered an evacuation and are investigating the item. The game was called off less than 90 minutes before kickoff. German Chancellor Angela Merkel and several cabinet members were due to make an appearance.
An act of terrorism brought down the Russian plane that crashed in Egypt last month, according to the head of Russia's Federal Security Service. Russian President Vladimir Putin has vowed to find those responsible and hold them accountable. The Islamic State says it carried out the bombing. The head of Russia's Federal Security Service told Putin that a homemade bomb was detonated on board, killing all 224 people. According to experts, the homemade device was equivalent to 1 kilogram of TNT and broke up the plane in the air when it was detonated.
French President François Hollande has demanded his European allies take arms against ISIS. This follows France's own airstrikes after the terror group in their Syrian stronghold of Raqqa. Hollande used an article from the European Union's Lisbon Treaty to make this demand. The treaty states that the 28 countries within the Union must provide aid when a fellow nation is attacked. France's defense minister called the attack September 11 for Europe, but no one has agreed to the demand yet. For now, only Russian bombers will be flying alongside the French ones in Syria.
the GTA Muslim community is rallying together after not one, but two racially charged attacks over the weekend. Here's Trevor Hewitt with the story.
A local Muslim woman has been assaulted and a mosque has been burned down following the Paris terror attacks. Police Media Relations Officer Victor Kwong told Are You Listening that a woman was attacked yesterday on her way to pick up her children from school. Her name was not made public.
A woman was walking on Grenoble Drive at about 3 p.m. on Monday. She alleges that she was approached by two male. These two male allegedly made racial slurs towards her and then proceeded to assault her by punching and kicking.
Though the attack cannot be classified as a hate crime until it's brought before a Crown attorney, Kwong says that the incident is being treated like one.
Technically and legally, no, it's not a hate crime because it hasn't gone before a Crown attorney yet. But for layman's term, yes, because the slurs that were said were racially motivated.
This attack wasn't the first, though. On Saturday night, a mosque in Peterborough was partially burned. The incident was the result of a deliberately set fire. Peterborough police are also treating the event as a hate crime. Hussein Mullah is with the Ryerson Muslim Students Association. He says that the attacks over the weekend surprised him.
Canada is known to be like a peaceful, kind country. We don't really expect these sort of things. We hear about similar barbaric things happening in other countries. But over here in Canada, we're known to be peaceful, loving people. So it was kind of shocking, to say the least.
For him, the solution lies in changing the dialogue.
I think it's also about changing the dialogue, because when incidents like terrorist attacks happen, if it's a person of brown or Muslim, it's always seen as, you know, a Muslim terrorist or something. But when it's another race, it's not seen as that. The media will spin it as like a mental health problem or something. So I think by changing the dialogue, it could also help, because the people that are enraged, they wouldn't have that negative perception of us if that's not the focus.
Mariana Bokarova is a Harvard and U of T graduate that specializes in behavioral science and semiotics. She told Are You Listening that from a psychobehavioral perspective, these violent reactions are a result of widespread fear created by the Paris attacks.
It could have been any given cafe. It just happened to be Paris. And so I think that creates fear. And a reaction to fear sometimes is a violent reaction.
In the future, Bokarova says that the best way to avoid Islamophobia-based attacks is for the public to educate themselves on Islam.
Truly education. It was Helen Keller that said the highest result of education is tolerance. And so if I think to Justin Trudeau's statements about this event, and truly the reality, which is that many people are unaware of the fact that ISIS is just a small extremist percent, if we can make people aware of this fact that there are innocent Muslims being persecuted as well, it would, I assume, help reduce the chances.
Police say that they are looking for two suspects in the attack on the local Muslim woman. For Are You Listening, I'm Trevor Hewitt.
Police are asking anyone with information about that attack to call police at 416-808-522 or Crime Stoppers anonymously at 416-222-8477.
Canada's plan to resettle 25,000 refugees in the new year is still on, following the Paris attacks. Here's Sarah Jackson with the story.
In just 44 days, Canada is planning on welcoming 25,000 refugees through its borders. But since the terrorist attacks in Beirut and Paris last week, there has been discussion that maybe the fast-approaching deadline should be extended. Brad Wall, the Premier of Saskatchewan, said on Monday that the deadline should be pushed back until Canada can be sure that it can resettle the refugees safely.
Let's make sure we are helping Syrian refugees as a country and as a province. Let's take as many as we can, but let's do it in a safe way, first of all. Let's also do it in a way that ensures that settlement isn't an issue. And I don't have that confidence right now.
But he said that Canada still welcomes refugees and that there is no place for Islamophobia in this country. Alan Sears, a professor of sociology at Ryerson University, disagrees that Canada isn't prepared for the people fleeing the horrors of ISIS. He says that Canada has a responsibility to aid in this humanitarian crisis.
I don't think the numbers just came out of the air, but came out of a number that's quite handleable given Canada's history of doing this in the past. And the crisis that people are facing is so pressing that I think we owe it to the world to stretch ourselves.
Sear says that fearing the very people who are fleeing the political violence in Syria is a form of Islamophobia. With stories of racial discrimination happening since the recent terrorist attacks, this is a real concern, says Sears. But despite the opposition, Health Minister Jane Philpott says that the plan to resettle 25,000 refugees by January 1st is still on. From Are You Listening? I'm Sarah Jackson.
Ontario's Special Investigation Unit was called after a woman was shot last night in Toronto. She was taken to Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center with potentially life-threatening injuries. Officers received reports about a person with a knife near Victoria Park and Finch Avenue late Monday night. Officers responded to the call. There was a reported interaction between the police and the woman before she was shot. Four investigators and three forensic investigators have been assigned to this case.
Mayor John Tory has just announced a $25 million project for the Gardiner Expressway. The money will transform the area beneath it into a vibrant community space for arts and cultural events. Odelia Law has a story.
Toronto may have another landmark to show by 2017. A collaborative project among the City of Toronto, Waterfront Toronto, and philanthropists Judy and Will Matthews is underway to provide Torontonians and the city's tourists a new outdoor party space. The project, named Under Gardiner, aims to utilize underused downtown regions in the city, including 10 acres of land from the west of Stroll Avenue to Spadina Avenue. The existing structure of the Gardiner Expressway will act as a canopy over the new cultural center. Mayor Tory believes that it is about time the city embraces a new change that would bridge the neighborhoods and bring huge business opportunities.
We want to have a city here, and I want to lead a city that says yes to the art of the possible. And no matter how small some of the ideas are that people have about how they can and we can together improve our city, we want to form a partnership with them to make that happen. We shouldn't be looking for reasons to say no, we should be looking hard for reasons to say yes.
Joe Cressy, councillor for Yard 20, shares the mayor's anticipation and wants the city to be excited for the project's promising future.
This has the potential to be a world-class destination. This has the potential to be just like the CN Tower is on the downtown tower. It's not just that we're creating a new destination and enhancing livability and building community. It's that as a city, we're saying we're ready to be ambitious. And that's the real message.
Cressy says the $25 million donated by the Matthews family is a generous addition to the existing $150 million investment in the city's effort in rehabilitating Toronto. The city welcomes public engagement by announcing a campaign in naming the place that is uniquely Torontonian. It will begin in December. The city and its partners are still working out concrete plans for future maintenance and management of the space. But meanwhile, we could anticipate a coming hub, possibly an ice skating rink, a dog park, and a concert stadium all in one place. For Are You Listening? I'm Odelia Law.
Salvage crews are planning to pump out hazardous oil-based substance from a ship that sank to the bottom of Lake Erie. The assembly of the pumps will start later in the week. The barrage that sank in the late 1930s contains benzoil. It is federally registered as one of the most serious pollution to threaten the water. The U.S. Coast Guard discovered that the ship has been leaking since October.
Same-sex marriage is now legal in Ireland. In a landmark referendum in May, more than 62% of voters approved gay marriage. Ireland became the first country to adopt gay marriage by the popular vote. Gay marriage became officially legal on Monday.
The body of Olympic sprinter Yulia Balakina was found by Belarus police today. Balakina had been missing since October 28. The body was found wrapped in cellophane and hidden under the moss in the forest near Belarus capital in Minsk. Balakina's former partner, identified only as Dmitry V, is in custody under suspicion of murder. The two used to share an apartment, but broke up several months ago. Balakina ran for Belarus in 2012 London Olympics. She received a two-year doping ban in 2013 and had been working as a coach since the end of July.
Here's a recap of the top stories today. So far, there have been many arrests following the Paris attacks. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is sending in more Canadians to train fighters against ISIS. And police are stopping a soccer match in Germany after a bomb scare. Next up, we have current affairs.
In current affairs, scientists tackle hepatitis C, a surprising announcement from Charlie Sheen, Apple brings digital wallets to Canada, and the Blue Jays have big news. But first,
in health and science, a single pill can cure hepatitis. A study has found groundwater is non-renewable, the International Space Station is down one power circuit, and uterus transplants may be the cure for women who have uterine factor infertility. Here's Amanda Gilmore with the stories.
A new study from Toronto Western Hospital found that a combination of two compounds works on all strains of the hepatitis C virus. Chronic hepatitis C is known as a silent killer because symptoms don't appear until the liver is severely damaged. If undiagnosed, the infection can lead to cirrhosis. This medication is a breakthrough because it prevents the virus as well as curing those diagnosed. In science, a new study has found that groundwater is non-renewable. Here's Catherine Machado with the story.
The study was released yesterday by University of Victoria hydrogeologist Tom Gleason and his colleagues. The water that they studied supplies aquifers all around the world. Aquifers are the system that extract water from the ground after it cleanses itself through rock, sand, and more. The study found that groundwater takes much longer to replenish than once thought. Mandy Moreno is an associate professor from the Environmental Studies Department at the University of Toronto. She wasn't surprised by these findings.
And we're not preserving water, right? I mean, there needs to be an education for people, you know, to use less water, or for us to, you know, have something in place that we're not that lowers our demand on our water resources.
Just 6% of groundwater around the world is replenished within a human lifetime of 50 years. The efficiency of an aquifer system depends on its location and depth in the ground. This means that developing countries with drier climates find their supplies drying up a lot sooner. Mariano explained how shallower aquifers are more typical in these regions because they are easier and cheaper to install. But the shallower the aquifer, the less water it reaches. She explained how if you don't allow the system to replenish itself, then you are just emptying it out.
Those aquifer systems, if you take water out of them, it's like mining them because they're not being recharged.
Mariano says that there was a time we could claim ignorance, but now is not that time. She says that we need more education, but most importantly, we need policies and laws to be shaped around these findings. I'm Catherine Machado for Are You Listening?
Thank you, Catherine. The International Space Station has taken a power hit. A short circuit in equipment apparently tripped a current switching device, but there is no danger to the astronauts on board. They do not have the repair equipment to fix the circuit. NASA will be sending the equipment needed sometime earlier next year. And there's finally hope for women diagnosed with uterine factor infertility, or UFI, to have children. A Cleveland clinic will be performing uterus transplants for women within the next few months. UFI happens in women who don't have a uterus or if theirs is damaged by an infection or injury. The women who undergo these uterus transplants will have to use in vitro fertilization. This surgery will only be available for women in the United States. That's all for Health and Science News. I'm Amanda Gilmore for Are You Listening?
Now in Arts and Entertainment News, Charlie Sheen announces he is HIV positive, Kenny Rogers is set to receive a prestigious award, and the Paris attacks hits close to home for Justin Bieber. Here's Mitch Bowmel with more.
Charlie Sheen announced that he is HIV positive on the Today Show this morning. Bailey Vickers has more.
Sheen was diagnosed with the virus 4 years ago, and he says he has only had two sexual partners since then. On the Today Show this morning, he said that since he was diagnosed, he was blackmailed into paying over $10 million to keep the illness a secret.
Is it true that on at least one occasion, you had a prostitute come over to your house who, after a sexual encounter, went into your bathroom and with a cell phone took an image of your antiretroviral medication?
That's correct, yeah.
And then threatened to sell that image to the tabloids?
Yes.
Sheen says that he plans to stop these payments immediately.
What people forget is that's money they're taking from my children, you know? They think it's just me, but I got five kids and a granddaughter, you know?
Are you still paying some of these people?
Not after today, I'm not.
So you think that by speaking this truth, you'll get out from under that?
I think I released myself from this prison today.
Charlie Sheen is known for having many sexual relationships with women. He claims that he has been honest and told all his partners about the disease.
Have you knowingly, or even perhaps unknowingly, transmitted the HIV virus to someone else since your diagnosis?
Impossible.
Have you told every one of your sexual partners before you had a sexual encounter that you were HIV positive?
Yes, I have.
No exception.
No exception.
Ex-partner and porn star Bree Olson claims that they were together when he was diagnosed and he did not tell her. She says all of her tests have been negative. If what she claims is true, she will have legal grounds to press charges. For Are You Listening? I'm Bailey Vickers.
In other arts news, you gotta know when to hold 'em, when to fold 'em, and know when to walk away. Country music star Kenny Rogers will be receiving a major award before embarking on the last tour of his career. Rogers will be honored as the CMT Artist of a Lifetime at the CMT Artists of the Year Awards show in Nashville. The show will take place December 2nd. The Grammy-winning singer has been performing since the late 1950s and has sold more than 120 million albums. While Rogers is wrapping up his career, another old-timer is still going strong. Love is like a burning arrow. Rod Stewart recently released his new album, Another Country, on October 23rd. The album was in the Billboard Top 50 last week. The rock star is still touring. His next show will kick off in March at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Stewart will begin a UK tour in June. And while the whole world has been shocked by the terrorist attacks in Paris, things hit close to home for pop sensation Justin Bieber. Bieber's friend Thomas Ayad was one of the 89 people killed at the Bataclan Theater during the Eagles of Death metal concert. Bieber wrote a touching tribute to Ayad on Twitter, wishing he had more time to thank him. Ayad was a Universal Music Group executive and part of Bieber's team. For Are You Listening? I'm Mitch Beaumile.
In the world of business, Apple has released Apple Pay in Canada. Greece is making plans to get rid of its debt, and Iran is trying to reclaim their oil claims. Tego Moyo has those stories.
Starting today, those who have American Express cards and the latest iPhone models or Apple Watches won't need to use their wallets to pay for coffee. Maria has the story.
Apple Pay has come to Canada. Instead of tapping your credit card to pay for something, you'll simply tap your iPhone or Apple Watch. The service is limited to those who have American Express cards for now. Only 8.2% of the Canadian market have American Express cards. The Wall Street Journal reported that Apple is negotiating with Canada's biggest banks, including the Royal Bank of Canada, BMO, Scotiabank, and CIBC. But for now, the financial institutions haven't said a word about working with Apple. Businesses like Tim Hortons, McDonald's, Indigo, Petro-Canada, and Staples accept the payment. Mark Salzman, the gear guide from Cineplex Pre-Show, will tell us why it is safer than a credit card.
To identify you or authenticate you, you put your finger on your iPhone, the home button on the Touch ID, it's called Touch ID technology. And with the iWatch, the Apple Watch, once you take off the Apple Watch and you put it back on the wrist, you are prompted to put in your four-digit PIN number.
iPhone 6 or newer are compatible with Apple Pay in stores, and some tablets can use Apple Pay in-app purchases. Apple is not the first to bring this option to the market. Samsung and Google have similar services. This is Maria Figueredo for Are You Listening?
Greece and its European creditors have reached an agreement on how Greece will get its next batch of bailout money. The bailout money includes 10 billion euros for its struggling banks. It's a three-year bailout agreement that will focus on cash disbursements. The agreement means that Greece will get around 2 billion euros in loans to help with the struggling public finances. The agreement does not free Greece of its debt, but it's a step in the right direction. Iran will export an additional 500,000 barrels of oil a day. This is to reclaim its market share after sanctions that were lifted under a landmark nuclear deal. The increase will happen in early 2016. Iran's oil minister says that Iran plans to double its crude oil exports. Although oil prices have been dropping, Iran's ministers say it will not concede its share of the market. In other business news, for British Canadian entrepreneur Peter Luckett, it's never too late to start over. Luckett has worked on TV, as a yogurt maker, and most recently as a grocery store owner. In order to switch over to the wine industry, Luckett was forced to sell his Pete's Fine Food Store to Sobeys. Luckett has to put all this to the side to pursue his newfound passion in the winemaking industry. That's all in the world of business. For Are You Listening, I'm Tiago Moyo.
In sports today, a symbolic international soccer game is being played. The Toronto Blue Jays made an important announcement concerning the upcoming season. An International Athletes Association is being defied. Here's Alana Ladda with the details.
In the wake of terrorist attacks on Paris, officials have been forced to make difficult decisions on what should go on and what won't be safe for the public. British Prime Minister David Cameron is standing side by side with France, going forward with the soccer match in London today between France and England. Cameron will be attending the match at Wembley Stadium with Prince William and London Mayor Boris Johnson. Meanwhile, a French player lost a cousin during the Paris attacks, and the team stayed overnight at the Stade de France with the German team as a security precaution. Though the French Football Association wants the English game to go ahead for symbolic reasons, it is not a precedent for all games. The Belgian Red Devils' Twitter account confirmed that the friendly between them and Spain to be played in Brussels would be cancelled. After a record-breaking season, some changes have been made in the Blue Jays clubhouse. Here's Eva Salibic with an update on their upcoming season.
Marco Estrada is coming back. Blue Jays interim general manager Tony LaCava made the new two-year contract official in a news conference today in Toronto.
We obviously identified Marco as a priority to bring back. You know, he came in as a guy that wasn't even in our initial rotation, just continued to get stronger and stronger throughout the season, and he earned his right to free agency through his time in the major leagues, and he's earned this contract, and we're really happy for him.
Estrada accepted the offer worth $26 million on Friday. He told the media the offer was extremely fair, but that it wasn't about the money. He was happy it was proposed because he just wanted to stay for a few more years. Estrada appeared in 34 games in the first season with the Blue Jays, including 28 starts. LaCava believes it was his finest season, which turned him into a key player for the team that won the American League East. Ryerson baseball fan Barry Robson is excited about the change.
In the playoffs, he killed it. He handled pressure really well. And I'm really glad that they signed him because that'll make our bullpen a lot more deep this year, and it'll help us out with our pitching, so I'm glad about that.
Toronto is expected to add at least one more starter to the staff and has yet to announce its budget for 2016. I'm Eva Salibic for Are You Listening?
In other sports news, marathoner Viktor Ugarov has been suspended for running a marathon in Japan on Sunday. His participation defied the IAAF, the International Association of Athletics Federations, ban on Russian athletes after an alleged state-sponsored doping. Ugarov's record has been removed from the IAAF website, and he will not be receiving any prize money from his record at the marathon. The Russian Athletics Secretary has said that they were unable to inform all of the athletes face-to-face about the ban. He blames sports organizers for allowing athletes to compete. For Are You Listening, I'm Aliana Latta.
That's all for Are You Listening today. I'm Michael Solarchik.
And I'm Anna K. Evans. Thanks for listening.